Okay, now you talk.
Okay. I call the October 2nd, 2018 Finance Committee of the whole of the Glencoe Park District to order. Roll call.
Commissioner Boren. Commissioner Brooks, or yes. President Brooks, actually.
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Chair Underdonk?
Here. Okay, matters from the public. We have some matters, some people from the public here, I believe, who want to talk to us about anything on our, either one of our agendas. And I just ask you to try to limit your thoughts and comments to about 3 minutes. And who would like to speak first?
They do realize there's 2 meetings, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They can speak either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, please do.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
I'm Chuck Diasty. I was here the last time. Just thought I'd show up again. Are there any changes to the proposal?
I'm sorry. I wasn't here at the last meeting when you spoke. Could you give your name and address? And
yes. Jim Niesty, N-Y-E-S-T-E. 258 Maple Hill. It's the White House with blue shutters. It was just repainted, so it finally looks halfway decent. And we've been in that house since November 5, 1988, so coming up on 30 years. So we live right on the park. Are there any changes to the proposed plan?
Not at this time. The board has not discussed it yet, so that's part of what tonight's about.
And what is the schedule for making a decision?
Oh, it might be months.
Oh. I just printed out the minutes from the last meeting. And I found interesting that, in my reading this right, if this plan goes ahead, it will likely cause other items to be deferred, things that other capital projects. Like, I noticed on page 3 of the minutes, there's been requests for lights at the Watts tennis courts, improvement of drainage in low-lying parks, improvement of the baseball fields, and other improvements that would likely have to be deferred for 2 or 3 years if this project goes ahead, the linear park development. Is that right?
It's not really a Q&A. Yeah. It's not a Q&A. We're talking about capital projects tonight, so.
So if you can, stand holding on through the meeting. Yeah, it's part of our discussion tonight, but it's not a part of...
You're welcome to sit in and listen to
it. It does sound like...
It hasn't been made yet, though, I think.
Yeah, it's just
part of
still...
The decision is not yet been made.
It sounds like there's some interrelationship, and I think if those other items would have to be deferred, if the linear park development proposal goes ahead, I would add that to my list of names for the proposal.
Okay.
Just to cover again what my main concerns were, those are the maximization of open space. I served on the Zoning Board of Appeals for 2 terms and just saw more and more development, larger and larger homes. And as far as open space and yards go, smaller and smaller, greatly diminished open spaces. So my objective and my desire would be to see the maintenance, the maximization of the open space in the linear park. I would also like to minimize as much clutter, that's not a good word, but the last time, I'm afraid, but the additional exercise equipment that is located here and there in the proposal. If it were located within the playground area, I wouldn't have any opposition to it, I guess. And I think the playground area should be probably updated. It's been 26 or 28 years since that was done. The other objective or desire of mine would be to minimize maintenance and upkeep in the linear park. And I think many of the proposals are going to require more expense, more upkeep than currently. And I would also like to encourage kids' creativity in their play rather than providing them with play objects. I would like to preserve for them the open spaces where they can throw a frisbee or a football or set up a volleyball net or a badminton net, play touch football, those sort of things that are not planned for them by parents necessarily, but should be available to them in our parks. So to those ends, I don't see a need for more pathways. Why not walk in the park, on the grass? That's a better experience than walking on a gravel or a blacktop pathway. paths are going to be wet and unusable for much of the year. They're not going to be usable by wheelchairs or people with scooters or walkers, so it's really not going to increase the access to the parks by the elderly. And it's going to require more upkeep. And I think they're really redundant. One of the items I saw in the plan was like a little mountain bike course. I think that is really unnecessary, possibly dangerous, and will need upkeep as well. I say yes to making the Veterans Memorial more visible. I say yes to improving the drainage in the below grade park. I forget how it's labeled on the proposal, but the large park that is really below grade is usually wet and is largely unusable. And if something could be done to improve the drainage there, I'd say yes to that. And also yes to the playground refurbishment.
Thank you so much. Another way you can communicate with us is through an email to our director, and then she'll make sure we get everything. Also, you're welcome to send a letter, and that will get reproduced as well. But thank you for sharing concerns. And again, no decisions have been made to this point on the proposal. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next.
Barbara Seidman. I live at 630 Crofton Avenue, Highland Park. For 40 years, my parents lived at 20 Maple Hill Road. For 40 years, I lived at 26 Crescent Drive. I have as much experience on that corridor between Park and Peach as anybody could have, but I wanted to say, you see one here, but I know with authority I speak for all, that we all thank you for the time and the effort that you put in on our behalf with our district, right? We agree on that. I'm here just to put out the proposal that you hands off on this green corridor that comes as such a relief, as an extension of people's backyards, as is. You could consider restoring Stanley Schumann's prairie grass. The sign is gone. It's as if it never existed, but it was installed with good faith. But to leave your imprint as green as possible, not as a paved paradise and put up a parking lot. We've already got the parking lot. Any questions? Does that constitute a formal proposal for your consideration?
It does.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you very
much.
Thank you,
Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Public here? Okay. Okay. Now, this is the Finance Committee of the whole meeting, and now we're going to discuss the proposed 2018 tax levy amount, and Carol is our expert on this. By far.
You guys will be really glad.
Yeah. Very exciting presentation. Wait, where's everybody going? It's just behind hands.
You must be
welcome to my world. Carol, is this something you said?
Oh, Detail. You know how to clear a room.
Way to go.
Oh, ouch.
Wow. Now I know what to do.
I'm totally sincere.
I've never seen that before. Well, I know it's not a real exciting topic to talk about, and it traditionally does not change from year to year, that the levy process, as you know it, is a little bit backward in that we're stating an amount that really we won't know final tax extensions until next June, July. So right now what we're doing is deciding on an amount to levy, which goes in the form of a levy ordinance that gets filed with the Cook County's office to basically raise revenues, tax our citizens of the Park District. It's not to be confused with the budget, which is typically passed in March at the beginning of our fiscal year. It just states what is it as far as taxation that we pass on to our residents. And by the mere virtue of the tax cap laws, which went into effect back in the early 90s, we're kind of limited on what we can do. So basically, the tax extension is going to be limited for old growth. This year's CPI is 2.1. You might recall last year it was also 2.1. The only really other ability to collect over and above the 2.1 would be for new growth, new development within the Park District boundaries. Typically, that's been under 1%. Last year it was 1.15%. So we typically like to build in a cushion over and above what the CPI is to make sure that we're capturing all new growth within our boundaries. So last year our tax levy amount that was requested, and again this is only for operating funds, the debt service is completely separate. The truth in taxation laws look just at operating. Last year that was 4.4%. So it covered 2.1 for old growth, 2.3 for any potential, and again, like I said, it was only 1.15. This year we're going to actually, even though the CPI is 1, we're building in a cushion of another 2.11, which I feel is reasonable and based on historical information is right in line, that our request would be 4.21% for operating. Now our debt service actually comes down a little bit, and that decreased 5% based on the extension from the current year, so that the total levy increase amount that we're requesting for the county is 2.17%, I believe, an increase. Per the truth in taxation laws, we have to hold a hearing if we're over 5%. So as in years past, even though we're below 5%, we still go through the process of holding the hearing, allow anybody to speak on the behalf of the levy, try to explain the process to them. So we would continue to do that. What we're requesting is a levy amount tonight. The official authorization goes in the form of the truth in taxation resolution at the October regular meeting, and then the levy ordinance would be passed in November. So, and has to be filed within the last Tuesday of December for them to actually then prepare the tax bills and tax on our behalf. So the packet of information is again very similar to previous years. And I kind of want to maybe refer you to, just to point out a couple of things, because we do a levy by fund. There are individual funds based on what the expenditures are that we spend on behalf of the Park District, meaning that those revenues are then go into each of those, I believe there's 8 or 9 funds. A couple of things to point out. The last couple of years for special recreation, we have been going more and more towards the maximum rate because we've been doing a lot of development. A lot of ADA-related expenses come in the form of parking lots, come in the form of playgrounds. And we can justify utilizing some of those special recreation funds for ADA transition purposes. So we've tried to go more up to the level, realizing that we also have increases in other funds, and this year there happen to be other increases in other funds that we kind of need to make up for. As you know, we did the expansion of the daycare program. With that comes additional wages for the additional full-time and part-time positions that were part of that.
which means the IMRF fund, even though our rate is going down for pension purposes, our payroll size has increased. So we want to make sure that we're keeping track of that, as well as Social Security and Medicare, which again also went up with the additional wages. Another byproduct of that expansion and our overall expansion in general is that our liability insurance contribution to Pederma is based on our total operating expenditures. So as we increase that, it also will affect our contribution to Pederma. Not a lot. In the big scheme of things, we're a very small portion of the approximately 150 agencies that make up the Pederma pool, but it does have an impact on that, so we want to make sure that we're keeping an eye on that fund, as well as workers' comp, because as payrolls increase, so do our workers' comp contribution to Pederma. So other than that, there's not a whole lot that really is different from the levy process than in recent years. Again, the tax cap really made it. There's not a whole lot of variables that really come into play. You want to at least levy what the CPI is, and then also build in for any potential new growth, and that's exactly what we're doing this year. So I would just ask for the consensus of the board to move forward with a levy truth and taxation resolution that would be presented at the regular board meeting in October. Are there any questions?
Carol, I had a question.
Yes.
So we don't need to have the hearing, but we do it in the interest of transparency and
open
government.
Correct. Yep. And we've done that probably for the last 10 years. Yeah.
Commissioners, any questions?
I just thank you for really breaking this down, because
it breaks us down for each.
Yeah. When you look at the really amount, it's not, if I'm reading this right, it's not like that much more. And like you said, yeah, we don't have any other source of revenue, and we just kind of eat all the extra expense that things go up.
Well, we do. Our sources of revenue are, our goal really is 50% property tax revenue,
right,
or 50% user fees.
Right.
Right. So we do have the ability on that side, but we definitely, we want to maintain kind of what taxes that we are allowed to collect under the tax cap. You know, there has been discussions, and I know we've talked about it at the board level, about a property tax freeze, that could come into play. You know, has it happened yet? No, but it seems like that discussion has hung around for the last 2-3 years. So it's out there, but it's not going to impact next year's tax levy.
Carol, I think you've explained this several times to me. I just want to make sure I'm following this.
Okay.
So we're asking for a certain increase in the expectation, or in the case that new growth is actually higher than we realistically expect it to be.
Correct.
So once we actually sort of get the actual figures, we'll find out what our allowed levy is.
Right.
And so our actual total tax increase, if you will, is likely to be less than 2.17, because
correct. There's all the formula that the county uses. It's based on a limiting rate. There's total EAV. There's the assessed valuation of new development. And yeah, I mean, it's like 6 or 7 criteria that come into play. And that's why the county bill, they didn't always used to do this, but they bill for 55% of the last year's tax bill on the first installment. Then they figure out what the tax allocation extension truly is, and thus then the August 1st bills typically go out. And they've been pretty consistent on that. There was a time when there was 1 year when we did not get that second installment until close to December. And our bond payment is due.
Oh,
principal
no.
payment is due December 1. So it was a little touch and go there. But the last several years, the county has been really good about, you know, August 1, September 1, maybe a couple of times. But you were correct, Jeff.
So the number that is in your report is the upward bound.
Yeah, it builds in potential new growth.
Other questions?
No, I was just going to say that 11th of the agenda this weekend, when I was starting to study for the meetings, I got very excited about this. It was like going to a movie in the Bible, and I was just back to the future. And it was extremely well.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, anybody have anything else to say? Okay. So, as committee chair, I direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee, to move forward and propose 2018 tax levy amount for approval on our October 16th regular board meeting.
Okay, perfect. Any other business, Carol?
No.
No other business.
No other business, okay. Other matters from the public? No? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Ayes have it.
All right.
All right.